Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice, and today I'll be giving you a primer on what the word refugee actually means. So stay tuned and hopefully you learn some interesting things. Perhaps you'll go away with some things to ponder as well. I'm recording this podcast on the traditional lands of the Ngunnawal people and the Ngambri people, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. So let's start by pondering together why we hear a couple of different words used for people who seem to be seeking help and safety in another country. We hear the word refugee. And let me confess my age, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and back then, the only word I heard for this was refugee. And a lot of refugees from South America were settled where I used to live. But now we hear this other term, asylum seekers, and it caused me to ponder, why do we hear these two different words? Is there a reason? What's the difference between them? Is one made up for political reasons? Well, I'll let you be the judge of that, but let me talk to you a bit more about what a refugee is, or should I say, who a refugee is at international law. Refugees are people. Let's get that out of the way to start with. This is not some abstract concept we're talking about. We are talking about people. Now, the Australian Red Cross gives a bit of background in relation to refugee and asylum seeker facts. You can find that on their website. And what they note is that every year, millions of people are forced to flee their homes to find safety. They say, in the past decade, the number of people displaced from their home has almost doubled, from 41 million to 79.5 million. Red Cross Red Crescent works with these people all over the world, in the places they flee from, the places they pass through, and the places they arrive. Red Cross gives some information about what is the difference between an asylum seeker, a refugee, and a migrant? Now, let me just say that there are tons of websites with information about this, but it's helpful to look here because there's a pretty succinct explanation. So Red Cross says, an asylum seeker is a person looking for protection because they fear persecution or they have experienced violence or human rights violations. A refugee is a person who asked for protection and was given refugee status. They may have been resettled in another country or be waiting for resettlement. Not every asylum seeker becomes a refugee, but every refugee starts out as an asylum seeker. So what you can tell from that is an asylum seeker is sort of a state of being, someone who is looking for protection. And a refugee is more like a person who has been given a certain legal status. And Red Cross also explains, a migrant is a person who leaves or flees their home to go to new places, usually abroad, to seek opportunities or safer and better prospects. Migration can be voluntary or involuntary, but most of the time, a combination of choices and constraints is involved. So there you go. This is some pretty succinct and good baseline information from the Red Cross about the difference between a refugee, an asylum seeker, and a migrant. Now I'm going deep back into the past to give you some really useful information prepared by the Parliamentary Library Information Analysis Service. So this document was prepared by the Parliamentary Library. It was updated on the 14th of January 2011 It's a background note written by Janet Phillips of the Social Policy section, but it's still really great information, and it lets you know for how long this question has been cropping up. So, there is a heading on page 2 of this document. What is the difference between an asylum seeker and a refugee? And I'm going to read directly from it. There is a great deal of confusion about the difference between an asylum seeker and a refugee, and often the terms are used interchangeably or incorrectly. An asylum seeker is someone who is seeking international protection, but whose claim for refugee status has not yet been determined. In contrast, a refugee is someone who has been recognised under the 1951 Convention relating to the status of refugees to be a refugee. The convention defines a refugee as any person who, owing to well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion, is outside the country of his nationality and is unable or, owing to such fear, is unwilling to avail himself of the protection of that country, or who, not having a nationality and being outside the country of his former habitual residence as a result of such events, is unable or, owing to such fear, is unwilling to return to it. Obviously, this definition would need a bit of tweaking in the modern age. We don't need to simply use the word he to refer to individuals anymore. The drafting, if it were done today, would be different. Now, it's noted in this document, the definition of refugee does not cover other individuals or groups of people who leave their country only because of war or other civil disturbance, famine, natural disasters, or in order to seek a better life. As the UNHCR explains, refugees flee because of the threat of persecution and cannot return safely to their homes in the prevailing circumstances. An economic migrant normally leaves a country voluntarily to seek a better life. Should they elect to return home, they would continue to receive the protection of their government. So there we are. This question of who is an asylum seeker and who is a refugee has been going on for a very, very long time. Now, in terms of people who arrive without a valid visa, the author of this notes, and here she's talking about asylum seekers. Asylum seekers, irrespective of their mode of arrival, like others that arrive in Australia without a valid visa, are classified by Australian law to be unlawful non-citizens. However, the term unlawful does not mean that asylum seekers have committed a criminal offence. At the time of writing this article, the author said, there is no offence under Australian law that criminalises the act of arriving in Australia or the seeking of asylum without a valid visa. So there we go. The article also talks a lot about the arrangements that are made for people who perhaps arrive by boat and are intercepted in Australian waters. And we also know that that situation is going on still today, 10 years later again. Now, the article also has a fair bit of perspective on what the burning questions in 2011 were. So on page 4, there's a heading, Are Asylum Seekers Queue Jumpers? And the author of that article noted, there is a view that asylum seekers, particularly those who arrive in Australia by boat, are jumping the queue and taking the place of a more deserving refugee awaiting resettlement in a refugee camp. The concept of an orderly queue does not accord with the reality of the asylum process. Paul Power, CEO of the Refugee Council of Australia, notes that implicit in this view is that Australia should not be bothered by people seeking protection under the Refugee Convention, and that genuine refugees should go to other countries and wait patiently in the hope that Australia may choose to resettle them. The author goes on, "The reality is that only a small proportion of asylum seekers are registered with the UNHCR. UNHCR officers registered some 119,100 applications out of the total of 923,400 claims in 2009, a 62% increase compared to 2008. The officers' share in the global number of applications registered in 2009 was 13%, compared to 8% in 2008 and 12% in 2007. This was due to the higher number of applications registered with UNHCR officers in Malaysia, Somalia, and Kenya. Europe remained the primary destination for individual asylum seekers, with 359,400 asylum claims registered. It was followed closely by Africa, 336,400. These two regions accounted for 39 and 37% respectively of all claims." The author further noted, "Once registered with the UNHCR, many refugees seek resettlement to a country such as Australia. Refugees do not have a right to be resettled, and states are not obliged under the 1951 Refugee Convention or any other instrument to accept refugees for resettlement. It is a voluntary scheme coordinated by the UNHCR, which, amongst other things, facilitates burden sharing amongst signatory states. Resettlement therefore complements and is not a substitute for the provision of a protection to people who apply for asylum under the convention." So there we are. It was also estimated by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees and noted by the author of this article that less than 1% of the world's refugees may be resettled in any given year. Millions of refugees around the world continue to live with little hope of finding a solution to their plight. Resettlement benefits a small number of refugees. In 2008 and in 2009, less than 1% of the world's refugees directly benefited from resettlement. So there we go, in looking at what is the difference between a refugee and an asylum seeker, what we've come to understand is that both sort of start out in the same way, and a refugee is someone who has been given a particular legal status, but it sounds like both, I guess, categories of people, if we could put it that way, are really struggling. There was also a question about whether most asylum seekers arrive by boat, and this is addressed on page 6 of the article. What the author noted was that until recently, the vast majority of asylum seekers applying for protection in Australia have arrived originally by air with a valid visa and then applied for asylum at a later date while living in the community. It was noted that historically boat arrivals only made up a small proportion of asylum applicants, and that they thought at that time, which was 2011 when this article was published, that it was likely that between 96 and 99% of asylum applicants arrived by air. It was noted, though, that in 2011 there were more boat arrivals occurring, but at the time of publishing that article, boat arrivals were still less than half of Australia's onshore asylum seekers. And they were known by the term irregular maritime arrivals and non-irregular maritime arrivals, which meant air arrivals. So 2008 to 2009, irregular maritime arrivals comprised 16% of onshore asylum applications, whereas non-irregular maritime arrivals, that is air travel, comprised 84% of onshore asylum applications. And in 2010 to 11, the first quarter, non-irregular maritime arrivals, that is arrivals by air, were 56%, and irregular maritime arrivals had increased to 44% of onshore asylum applications. So clearly, this article was published because things were starting to change. Something else of note in this article, and of course there are lots of things of note, but one of the things that really stood out to me is that only about 20 developed nations, including Australia, participate formally in the UNHCR's refugee resettlement program, and the vast majority of asylum seekers and refugees are hosted in developing countries. So there's a perception that I think some people have that Australia and other countries are being swamped with refugees and with asylum seekers and are bearing a huge burden of hosting asylum seekers and refugees. But it's actually clear that other nations that people sometimes refer to as developing countries bear the largest burden of assisting refugees and asylum seekers. And although this is an old article, as I've said, from 2011, UNHCR's data showed at that time that Pakistan was host to the largest number of refugees worldwide, followed by Iran and Syria. It was also noted that Pakistan hosted the largest number of refugees relative to its economic base, followed by the Congo and Zimbabwe. Given that I gave some figures from 2011, I think it's appropriate that I give you at least some up-to-date information. So this comes from the Refugee Council of Australia. You can find their website, refugeecouncil.org.au, and I'm looking at an article, Statistics on Boat Arrivals and Boat Turnbacks, 31 January 2021. Now, I will confess to you that there are a lot of graphs on this page, and I'm actually relying on the commentary to assist you here. The Refugee Council says that there are two peak periods for boat arrival since 1976. Those periods were from 1999 to 2002 and from 2009 to 2014. And the Refugee Council says the rapid drop in numbers after these periods reflect a policy of forcibly returning boats, also known as boat turnbacks. So I cannot, from the graph, tell you the exact numbers of boat arrivals for 2020, but it looks really, really small. I'm just not able to give you figures, but for example, it seems to be millimeters above the zero line, and the line above it is 1,000. So, I don't know, I would have to guess a couple of hundred. I'm sure that these figures are available, but me finding them is beyond the scope of today's podcast, which is really focusing on what the difference is, and I guess what the similarities are between asylum seekers and refugees. I hope that you found this informative. It's really very bare bones, and there are a lot of things relating to Australia and how we assist or don't assist asylum seekers and refugees that do intersect with the law. But because I am not a lawyer who works in that area, I'm not confident at this stage going into more detail. So I hope you have got something out of this episode of the podcast. If there are further things that you would like to know, there are a lot of excellent resources online. And one that I haven't yet spoken about in terms of pointing you to their website is the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, which is the UN's refugee agency. If you want to find out more information from UNHCR, you can go to their website, which is unhcr.org. We also have other bodies in Australia that can assist you to find out more. One of those is the Settlement Council of Australia, and if you simply Google that, you'll come across their website. I also obviously mentioned the Refugee Council of Australia. Their website has a lot of statistics and information and is certainly worth a closer look if you are interested. Thank you again for listening to today's episode of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. I'm Sarah Avery of Sarah Avery Legal Practice, and I hope that you have gleaned some information that you didn't have before about asylum seekers and refugees in Australia. Look after each other, and thanks for listening.